It's time for Central Texas Outdoors on KOXE. All things hunting, fishing, and outdoors across the Lone Star State and right here at home. I'm your host, Nathan Smith. Join me as we cover news, updates, and exciting stories from the field. Let's go outdoors. Good morning, Central Texas, and welcome to another edition of Central Texas Outdoors. I'm your host, Nathan Smith, and thanks so much for tuning in here on KOXE 101.3 for another edition of the show. This week, we've got a great show lineup for you. You know, hunters are some of the most giving and charitable people that I know. We're going to talk with a group that's based here in Brownwood about ways that hunters give back each and every year. We're going to talk and check in again with Scott Anderson. He's got some great new information. We're going to test your whitetail deer IQ as it is opening day for regular whitetail season. We're also going to have our weekly wild game recipe of the week, so you don't want to miss that. Another great show lined up for you, and we'll be right back with it after a message from these sponsors.
I'm Larry Hart, the Youth Life Hunts Director for Racking Up Dreams Outdoors. Racking Up Dreams Outdoors is excited to team up with KOXE to host the biggest buck contest in our area, where hunters can have a chance to win thousands of dollars worth of prizes. Racking Up Dreams Outdoors is a 501c3 charity that broadens the outreach to help dozens of charity organizations in our community and surrounding area, as well as sponsor hunts for kids and young adults with serious illness and disabilities. Entry is free. Yes, I said free. And you can help make dreams come true. All you have to do is register online at KOXE.com. Thank you to all that helped sponsor the contest, and have a safe hunting season.
A record of service. Republican State Senator Phil King has always put Texas families first. For years, Phil King worked to keep us safe as a Fort Worth police officer and used that experience to lead efforts in the Texas Senate that protect our communities, like defeating the radical left from defunding the police and fighting back against Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's dangerous open border policies, securing funding to hire more troopers, build a wall, and secure our border. A taxpayer advocate, Phil King worked to pass the largest property tax cut in state history. He secured important investments in roads and education, including a cost of living adjustment for retired teachers. And as a husband, father, and grandfather, Phil King stood strong for our daughters and stopped men from competing in women's sports. Republican State Senator Phil King, fighting for taxpayers, our communities, and our values, and always serving for us.
Political ad paid for by Phil King Campaign.
Welcome back to Central Texas Outdoors. We are honored and privileged to have Executive Director of Good Samaritan Ministries, Lisa Stevens, with us in the studio this morning. Lisa, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you so much. You know, we always love to talk about what's going on at Good Samaritan, and one of our favorite programs is the Deer Project. And I'm looking forward to talking about this season and everything we're excited about.
So last week, we kind of got an outlook, overview of the regular whitetail season. We had some folks from Parks and Wildlife. We had some game wardens. We had Scott Anderson talking about weather. And all signs are pointing to a very much a better year this year than we've seen the last two or three years. Hopefully that's the case. Hopefully there's lots of, deer eating acorns right now. There's lots of forage out there. Hopefully that translates into an excellent harvest season. What I wanted to visit with you today about was the Deer Project and how impactful that project has been locally for so many years. So as we get into the Deer Project, some of our listeners are probably not even familiar with the Deer Project yet. Give me a little bit of an overview, some history on what is the Deer Project and how did it get going?
Well, absolutely. So back in the 2008-2009 season, a couple of gentlemen well known to this area, the late Weldon Wilson and Kirk Wall, they begin to talk about sources of protein for Good Samaritan. And as you know, you've got a family. When you go to the store to buy protein, that is one of the most expensive expenditures that a family has. And
absolutely,
it's one area where they will scrimp if they can't afford it. And so this area here in the Central Texas Pecan Valley area has always been a great area known for the abundance of deer. And so they began to look at how can we take this meat that sometimes hunters won't even finish hunting. They won't even finish using their tags because they don't want to be wasteful. Because as you know, Nathan, hunters are conservationists at heart.
Absolutely.
So they said, well, what about if we allowed them to donate the meat to the Deer Project? And they did all of the legwork to be sure that this was a legitimate venture with Texas Parks and Wildlife, and it absolutely is. And so in that first hunting season, they took in 5,229 pounds, and the processors were paid by the hunter. So that's really incredible if you think about that people were willing to pay for their own processing. But as the years have gone on, we have found a way to in fact, beginning in the 2010-2011 season, Good Samaritan began to pay the processors. And so that now makes it even easier for the hunters. So you just drop off your deer, tell them you want it to go to the Deer Project, and we work with the processors on a negotiated price. So you had mentioned looking ahead to this season. You know, the drought the last 2 years
right.
have been the lowest harvest we have had in terms of total pounds since that very first season. And a lot of it is summer heat. The farm crop did not
right.
survive. But I'm excited, like you say, and have heard from the officials. I just hear from people that say, they're so fat, they're in my front yard.
Yes.
You know, can't wait for the Deer Project.
Absolutely. So that's really amazing that at the origination of the Deer Project, you know, this was a completely hunter-driven campaign. Hunters were bringing deer in to be harvested, and then they were having to pay the processor to process that animal, and then the processor would then give the pounds donated to Good Sam. Now Good Samaritan has taken that cost away from the hunter. So literally, there is no cost to the hunter at all to donate an animal that they wouldn't otherwise be taking or using.
And, you know, if you look back that first season, 2008, 2009, and then up until about 2010, that was a time period in our country's history that was known as the Great Recession.
Right.
That people, you know, it should have been a tough financial time, but along with the hunters paying the processors, Nathan, they got enough donations together to build the first freezer in our warehouse specifically for the Deer Project, just for meat to for a place to put the meat that came in for that program. So there were a lot of things there that, even though times were in some areas tough, they were still able to get that going. And then when Good Samaritan began to pay the processors, we saw that harvest poundage double immediately.
Right, exactly. So talk a little bit about the processors. I know that that number and that list of processors changes from year to year, given on how the year's gone and just a lot of other factors. Who are the partnering processors with Good Sam this year?
We started, a couple of these have been with us since back in the very beginning, but we, again, when the processors began to come on board with what we were doing in 2017-18 season is when we really started adding more processors. So we like to make it easy. It's the processors are in various parts of not only Brown County, but Callahan and Coleman County. We have double R processing out on the access road. At one time that was called Perks, but then Robbie Russell and his team bought that a few years ago. We have Lone Star Taxidermy and Wild Game Processing out in Owens. We have Santa Ana Custom Processing there in Santa Ana. We have Potter's Processing in Cross Plains, Full Draw Processing in Rising Star. And this year we are very excited to welcome back M&M Deer Processing in Zephyr. So we
right.
have six different processors. There's lots of places.
Yeah,
no
it's
matter
all
where
compass
you're
points.
Hunting,
right.
there's lots of places.
Excellent. So if a hunter is interested and not familiar in the past with the Deer Project, literally all they have to do is legally harvest that animal, take that animal to one of those aforementioned processors.
and by the way, those processors are listed on our website, goodsambwd.org.
Perfect.
And we also post them at least once a week during the Deer Project on our Facebook
page.
On
social media, yeah. So they take those animals to one of those processors and say, hey, I want this deer to go to the Deer Project, and then the processor takes it from there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it almost sounds too simple, but that's how it goes. And right. we work with those processors. We provide them meat bags to help them with their cost. We pick up from them at least once a month. And everything is processed into ground meat. So that's another reason I believe it's attractive for the processor, is that you're not having to do these custom cuts. And by doing venison, our clients that come in, some of them may have grown up thinking they didn't like venison because mm-hmm. they didn't know what backstrap was, but everybody likes hamburger meat, and it's so right. versatile. And so it's a win-win for the processors. It's easy to do, and it's also a win-win for the hunter. They just have to drop the deer off.
Let's back up a little bit. We've talked about the hunter side. We've talked about the processor side. Now, the end user, the clients that come into Good Sam, who are in need, who come in, what they come in and they are able to essentially shop for some items.
And and especially with the meat items, we let them shop for produce and bread items.
Right.
But we try to, because we are a food pantry that's associated with the USDA's Emergency Food Assistance Program called the TFAP program, we try to be sure that we are fair and equitable in our distribution, so everybody kind of gets the same thing. But the good thing about the Deer Project is that is not USDA, that is our program. So if a family comes in that has, say, 6 or 7, then we can double up on that meat for them. And we also try to, Nathan, in our food pantry, include items each month that will help a family know what to do with that venison. So right. we'll do like a pasta and a spaghetti sauce, or we'll do hamburger helper
right.
or taco seasoning, things that just help them to kind of go, okay, that I never thought about that,
right.
but that's what I can use that for.
Figuring out how to put that together.
And, of course, venison is lean.
Extremely lean,
very
yes.
lean, and that's one of the things, you know, that as we think in the food pantry area, as we begin to think about food as medicine, we think in terms of, as we purchase these items, we don't want to just fill people up. We want them to have quality protein, lean protein, items that will guide them towards health in their food choices.
Excellent. Is there a goal that you guys at Good Samaritan Ministries have set for this year's Deer Project?
Oh, man. Every year we like to say 15,000 pounds. And right. honestly, as I look back, there have been many years that we passed that, like 16,000, 13,000, which is close. And then there was one year, 2017-18, that we harvested over 21,000
wow.
pounds of venison. What happened there, and if I could go ahead and kind of give a shout out for this, we found that year, because the deer population was so thick, several of our managed herd ranches needed to do herd control.
Right.
And so in the past, where they weren't quite sure what to do with those animals, we said, look, we'll take them. And so that is still an option. And I don't know if any of your listeners are affiliated with one of those managed game ranches, but we would be delighted to take those animals. And we also, I know sometimes for those folks, the manpower to get them ready to go mm-hmm. to the processor, we are in a position this year that we might could offer some financial assistance in getting those animals field dressed. And so,
right.
you know, if there's a managed game ranch that's hearing this, if you'd like more information, of course, call us at 325-643-2273. Ask for me, Lisa, and we can talk about the things that we have in place this year to make it more attractive for those ranches to share their animals as well.
Wonderful information. Thank you so much, Lisa, for taking time to be here this morning. Lisa Stevens with Good Samaritan Ministries right here in Brownwood. You're always welcome on the show, and maybe we'll check in toward the end of the season and see how things are going.
I'd like that, and then maybe also we can talk a little bit more about the Pig Project.
Perfect. It'll be that time of year. If you have questions about the Deer Project, if you need more information, obviously you can find Good Samaritan Ministries on Facebook. You can visit their website, or you can call 325-643-2273 for more information. Thanks again, Lisa.
Make plans for the Early Chamber of Commerce annual Hunter's Appreciation Luncheon and Gun Raffle, happening Saturday, November 2nd at the Early Visitors and Event Center from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Enjoy free chili and all the fix-ins, gun raffles, and prizes. Raffle tickets $20 per ticket or 6 for $100. There will be 12 guns and only 600 tickets will be sold. We will see you Saturday, November 2nd at the Early Chamber of Commerce Hunter's Appreciation Luncheon and Gun Raffle at the Early Visitors and Event Center, 419 Garmin Drive in Early. KOFC will be broadcasting live from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Hope to see you there.
Ranchland Country Store Feed and Fertilizer in Gulfwade welcomes hunters to Central Texas. They have everything you need to make your hunt successful. Wildlife feeders, blinds, attractants, feeder accessories, hog and varmint lights, deer protein, reclean deer corn, and much more. Buy your deer protein and deer corn in bulk, and they'll deliver it to you for all your hunting supply needs. Go to Ranchland Country Store Feed and Fertilizer, 140 U.S. Highway 183 West in Gulfwade.
Ranchland Country Store. Little bit of everything and a whole lot more.
This is Ron with the Zephyr Volunteer Fire Department asking for your help to continue our mission to support the community and surrounding areas. Did you know only a fraction of our operating costs come from government sources? Please come by the station on Saturday, November 2nd at 11 a.m. for the annual fundraiser. Chipster's Grill will be providing the brisket and sausage with all the fixings. Help us help you Saturday, November 2nd at the Zephyr Volunteer Fire Department starting at 11 a.m. until we're sold out. Thank you.
Welcome back to Central Texas Outdoors. We have Scott Anderson. Scott is Brown County Texas AgriLife Extension Agent here in Brown County. Thanks, Scott, so much for being here with us this morning. We talked last week a little bit about outlook for the season, which starts, of course, today. Let's talk a little bit today about aging deer on the hoof, and I understand you've got an interesting test for all of our listeners.
I do, and it's a pleasure to be here.
You know, that's one of the hard things, whether you're a seasoned hunter or a beginning hunter out in the field. Sometimes aging a deer correctly out there in the field, through the scope, through the binoculars, it can be kind of tough.
I guarantee you. And it is pretty important to be able to estimate a buck's age before you harvest him.
Right. Exactly.
And it is vitally important when you get into deer management that you or somebody is able to do this. We know that most of these bucks are not really going to meet their peak till they're about 5 years old.
Right.
But when you're 100 yards away sitting in the stand, you know, if we shoot all the little ones, mm-hmm. it's going to be hard to get one 5 years old.
I want to stop you right there. We talked last week about weather, you know, and how mm-hmm. this year late spring rains, a somewhat milder summer allowed for that forb growth to take place. You're looking at acorns dropping right now. They have been for the last several weeks. Deer have got a lot to eat right now. It's been a pretty decent year for deer growth, but this is just this year. You know, we've got some fawns on the ground, more twins, et cetera, but it's really, we're looking back at the last 4 to 5 years, weather patterns.
There was some tough years in there.
There was a lot of tough years. You know, fawn recruitment was low in 22, 21. So that plays a part in aging deer correctly out in the field.
Absolutely. You know, if genetics is one thing, but nutrition is just as important. And again, this year should be, the deer should be in good shape. The outlook looks good. But again, if we're sitting in a deer stand at 100 yards, we don't want to take out all of our good potentials.
Right, exactly. Okay, so give us some tips on ways we can distinguish between a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old.
All right. A lot of times they'll kind of place deer into one of three categories, either young, middle-aged, or old. The yearlings and two-year-olds being the young ones, 3 to 4s, maybe the middle-aged, and then 5 to 7 or so as old. Young deer, when you're looking at them through the binoculars, through the scope, their appearance, they appear to have longer legs, long, thin necks, high flanks. Their rumps are a little bit higher than their shoulders, and they have an overall slimmer appearance. When we get to the middle-aged deer, then we're looking at a little thicker, muscular neck, the necks that swell from the shoulders, heavily muscled, rounded hindquarters, bellies that are full but not sagging, and the legs don't really appear as long and gangly. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're also, if they're in good shape, they'll appear kind of flat-backed, but they won't be sway-backed. And then the older deer, yeah, they're going to appear a little bit sway-backed, some of them a little pot-bellied.
That sounds kind of like you and me. I was
very heavy neck and shoulders. The necks that blend into their chest down lower. Their legs appear to be a little short or stubby. And then if you can get that close to them, their eyes appear to be a little more squinty.
Okay.
But allowing the bucks on your place to grow up is going to pay dividends later on, especially if you're trying to get more trophy-type deer. So, again, aging them on the hoof at 100 yards, we kind of need to improve our skills on this one.
Right. So it's not just about shape of antlers or spread of antlers.
No.
Because a young deer can have a big set of antlers.
Absolutely.
On him. But, man, imagine how much better he will score if you give him another year or two.
Some of the latest research out now, everybody thinks it's the moon phase or something like that that kind of triggers the rut. But based on some of the latest research now, it's photo period length, meaning the length of daylight during a 24-hour period or the ratio of daytime to nighttime in 24 hours. Changes in the photo period are tied to seasonal changes in plants and animals. When the days become shorter, hormonal changes trigger, and then that's really what starts the rut.
Mm-hmm.
And we are real close to going, having a time change. Days are going to be shorter.
Right.
Photo periods are going to be shorter. So that's just going to lead us farther into the start of this rut.
Great information. And just a reminder for everybody, we are in an antler-restricted county in Brown County, so that means that you're able to shoot one deer that has a spread greater than 13 inches. Be sure to check your regulation outdoor manual for that information.
And, you know, again, when you're looking at them at 100 yards, if their horns are out spread wider
outside
than the tips
ears.
Of their ears, that's a pretty good indication.
Right.
But if it's close, you better be studying hard and fast.
Right. Yeah, that's a big ticket if you shoot a deer that's inside that spread.
Well, we're kind of talking all things deer here. I got a little trivia question or two for you.
All right.
How many permanent teeth should an adult deer have?
I'm going to say 18.
You're not bad. It's 32.
Well, a little off. 32 permanent teeth an adult deer should have.
Yes. And deer are considered ruminants, so therefore, how many parts of the stomach do they have?
Would that be four?
That is four.
All right.
You are correct. The gestation period in white-tailed deer, meaning how long does that doe stay pregnant? How many days do you think?
Man, I don't even know that one, Scott.
4 months. According to what I'm seeing, the gestation period in white-tailed deer is right at 205 days.
Okay. 205 days.
Uh-huh. And then, all right, scent is a big deal when we get into the rut. The metatarsal gland in deer is located about midway between the hoof and the hock outside of the leg. What is its function? Anybody know?
Got me, Scott.
Well, you know, it signals possible status in the herd, maybe produces pheromones involved in the rut, but actually, their answer is, we don't know.
Okay.
How many deer are estimated in Texas?
Okay, how about 5 million?
You're awful close. They're saying 4 million plus.
Okay. Gotcha.
And we know deer are more browsers and not grazers.
Right.
So what do you think one of the most important woody plant species that provides a lot of desirable browse for white-tailed deer here in Texas? Some consider it a trash plant on the rangeland.
I got a lot of trash range.
Hackberry.
Hackberry, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Doesn't really make much of a tree, but it's pretty important in a wildlife standpoint.
Sure, sure. How much hackberry do we have in Brown County? We have much?
We have quite a bit.
Do we? Yeah.
And it kind of spans the whole county. It's not just all focused in one area, really.
There you go. Hackberry, good source of protein for white-tailed deer. Anything else on your IQ?
All right.
Deer IQ.
Out far in West Texas and up in the Panhandle, we do have some mule deer. We don't really have any around here. Now, white-tailed deer and mule deer will interbreed and the result cross is fertile. Is that true or false?
I'm going to say false.
They say it's true.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. It's
I don't
not
know
like
that
a donkey
I've
and a horse.
Seen
huh?
a cross.
Yeah.
Again, one, we don't have mule deer right here.
I was out in Fort Davis about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and man, I saw a whole bunch of mule deer.
Yes.
Mule deer out there. I mean, they were, and the size difference, you know, is
huge.
Is very, very drastic size difference.
But now most of that area is in a big time
big drought.
Yeah. Big time drought.
Those deer were, they were there, but they weren't, they didn't look great.
Yes.
They're struggling out there in the Trans-Pecos area.
But yeah, just some little tidbits of test your deer IQ.
Excellent. It's always good to learn more about white-tailed deer, learn more about the habitat. That's so important. You know, hunters are really the first conservationists. We talk about farmers and ranchers being conservationists. That's definitely true. But hunters are also a conservation. There's a component there that's very important because without the habitat, without management practices going into effect, then there's no deer hunting. And deer hunting's a big deal here in Brown County. It's a big deal across the state and in the southeast portion of the United States. So, Scott Anderson, Brown County AgriLife Extension, thanks so much for your expertise and your time. I appreciate all that you do for the folks here in Brown County and for the show.
It's been a pleasure. And happy hunting, folks.
Exactly.
Take a young person with you. Get them outdoors.
Agreed. Thanks again, Scott.
No problem.
This is Ron with the Zephyr Volunteer Fire Department asking for your help to continue our mission to support the community and surrounding areas. Did you know only a fraction of our operating costs come from government sources? Please come by the station on Saturday, November 2nd at 11 a.m. for the annual fundraiser. Chipster's Grill will be providing the brisket and sausage with all the fixings. Help us help you Saturday, November 2nd at the Zephyr Volunteer Fire Department starting at 11 a.m. until we're sold out. Thank you.
Make plans for the Early Chamber of Commerce annual Hunters Appreciation Luncheon and Gun Raffle happening Saturday, November 2nd at the Early Visitors and Event Center from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Enjoy free chili and all the fixins, gun raffles, and prizes. Raffle tickets $20 per ticket or 6 for 100. There will be 12 guns and only 600 tickets will be sold. We will see you Saturday, November 2nd at the Early Chamber of Commerce Hunters Appreciation Luncheon and Gun Raffle at the Early Visitors and Event Center, 419 Garma Drive in Early. KOXC will be broadcasting live from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Hope to see you there.
For the wild game recipe of the week, we have fried venison cutlets with cream gravy. You know, it's hard to beat a classic. When you find something that's good, you just want to stick with it. And this is a great recipe. It's very simple. It's easy to make. It's really hard to mess up, especially if you're using backstrap cuts. It's really good even if you're going to use the top of round cuts from that deer that you've harvested. So once you get that deer back from the processor, you're going to take that backstrap. You're going to run it through some seasoning, some egg wash, some flour. You're going to fry it in a cast iron. I prefer to use a cast iron skillet. You're going to fry that over medium high heat. You're going to fry it on each side for about 2 to 3 minutes, those cutlets. Chicken fried backstrap is not really complete until you have the cream gravy. So we're going to make that with milk, flour, reserved oil from the drippings off those fried cutlets, salt and pepper, and some salted butter. We're going to make that gravy, and really you've got a complete meal in my mind right there, chicken fried backstrap with gravy. If you've not had a chance to ever make that yourself, it's really easy. It's hard to mess up, especially, like I said, if you're using the backstrap.
Go find this recipe on the TexasGourmet.com. Chef Brian Slavin. He wasn't able to join us this week. He'll be on next week. Until then, good luck in the kitchen. I'm Nathan Smith, and this has been another edition of Central Texas Outdoors. I'm glad you're along for the ride. Join me next Saturday here on KOXE 101.3 at 8 o'clock for another look at all things outdoors. You can listen on KOXE, KOXE.com, or the KOXE app. Remember, if you're too busy to go hunting or fishing, then you're too busy. Until next time, so long.